Blog Talk Radio.
If you walk outside your door right now and look at the plants around your house, do you have any clue which plants are edible? After a lifetime of research and over 3 years of putting this together, I have created what I believe to be one of the most foundational books for living on planet Earth. Most human beings have lost touch with nature so much they have no clue anymore how to survive on their own. Did you know wild plants are some of the most powerful food and medicine you could ever have? Every living thing on Earth has a purpose, even the toxic plants. You just need to know which purpose they serve. In an emergency, you need to know this. If you want to seriously improve your health, you need to know this. If you have no more money for food or medicine, you need to know this. This is a book no household should be without. This isn't just about plants you might see in a forest somewhere. I'm talking about the begonias in your window, the grass in your yard, the tree on the corner, and the weeds coming through the cracks. I didn't just create this for you. I created it for me, too. Why buy it when you can grow it for free and have an endless supply of free food and medicine for the rest of your life? This amazing Power Pack book covers over 1,000 plants found all over the world. It shows you which ones are edible, which ones are poisonous, what they're used for. Over 2,500 full-color images. This is the ultimate plant and health reference guide. Just as important is the second part of the book, a complete in-depth cross-reference of every health condition you can imagine and what plants have been historically used for those conditions. What plant do you take for nervousness? What plant repairs DNA? What plants are good for anxiety, insomnia? Which ones are good probiotic food? What plants can you make your own soap and toothpaste and shampoo with? What are the best healthy low glycemic sugar substitutes other than stevia? Which ones increase nutrient absorption and athletic performance? How about the performance in the bedroom? Even if you don't want to pick your own plants, at least know what to look for when you go to the health store. This section alone is worth the whole book. Once you start looking at this thing, you're not going to be able to put it down. You'll be amazed at what's out there, growing right outside your door. There's nothing else like this out there. This is a book every person, every household should have. The Free Food and Medicine Worldwide Edible Plant Guide. Get it at freefoodandmedicine.com.
Amazing.
Amazing. So,
last Blog Talk Radio podcast. Who, what?
What are we going to talk about today, Professor?
Professor? You're more of the professor than I am. I'm more of a... You're Dr. Jekyll and I'm Mr. Hyde.
Really?
Okay. Anyways, we left off on our last Blog Talk Radio podcast with Pine, and the rest of the podcast, when we went into overtime, we were talking about pine pollen. Pine pollen is amazing. You should definitely look into pine pollen. And when I get time to upload that podcast, you'll have to go listen to that as well. Last week, I was unavailable, so David Ray podcasted on our other podcast, which, again, you'll have to wait till I get time to upload it to listen to
it.
But what
did
you talk about?
20 minutes of me stammering on about basically what Ron Paul had brought up in the 40 minutes that we failed to record.
Now, that's on our Scrap podcast. What about the Free Food and Medicine podcast?
Oh, well, basically, I just read straight through the book from, I can tell you here in a minute. From roughly where I thought you might have left off, and I think I started out cilantro. I skipped some things that we had obviously talked about a lot, and I just kept on reading until I think I got to ice plant.
Ice?
I might have gone to kill Robbie.
Like ice, baby. Dun, 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 dun. That kind of ice?
Yeah. I left you a message, so it'll be on there.
Right.
Jeez.
I slept since then.
That girl has so many holes in her jeans, she might as well not be wearing them.
Okay, so.
Oh.
I guess let's start with ice.
Well, kiwi.
Or there. Seaweed. Oh, yeah. Seaweed is amazing. I need to get a hold of the seaweed extract for, need to figure out how to get a hold of the seaweed extract that's not an arm and a leg. There is a massage gel that's a lot like aloe gel, but not sticky. It's more slippery and silky-like. And I think the name brand is called Nuru. Nui Nuru or something like that. It's been a while since I looked into it. But it's made from a seaweed extract. And, you know, all the places that I have found that carry or sell the product, it's horribly overpriced, kind of like CBD is right now. But CBD is finally coming down. You know, the CBD craze is finally settling down, and the price is starting to normalize.
Well, everyone and their brother's selling it, so they got to reduce the price or they can't keep their customers.
Right. You know, so. 10, 15 years ago when I was talking about it, nobody was, like, taking me seriously. And it was, like, unheard of. And now everybody's all like, oh, CBD, 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 CBD. And it's been around forever. But people are really finally starting to take notice of its quality. And, but yeah, you know, you can't hold those high standard prices on a product unless it's actually rare for very long. You know, like oud oil. Oud oil is supposedly like the strongest aphrodisiac in the world. I don't know why it smells horrible, but that, well, you know, it you have to put it in with something else because it smells horrible. Anyways, I bought some
Dorian fruit. Dorian fruit smells like shit.
Yeah,
but it's considered an aphrodisiac. It's horrible. So,
yeah. Yeah, the oud oil comes from the agar wood, I guess agar plant, and it comes from the Middle East somewhere. Again, it's been a while since I researched it, but it's a very rare, well, it's not really rare, it's just hard to extract, and so it's hard to make. And so it's very expensive, kind of like saffron oil. It's also expensive, not as bad as oud oil. But anyways, yeah, seaweed extract, massage gel type of, if anybody knows where I can find, you know, a cheaper version of that, let me know, because, like I said, it's expensive, and it shouldn't be really that hard to make. Seaweed is readily available, and I don't see how its extract would be hard to extract, because it's very I don't know what the right word is. But
what are the conditions? Which kind of seaweed?
This is true. I don't know. All I know is it's a seaweed extract. And they make like a massage gel out of it. And it's a real popular Asian product. It's just not, it's not well known. Unless you're in like, you
I'll
know,
have to get
Asian.
My Filipina friends to send me shipments of that seaweed.
There you go. We'll have to figure out what seaweed they use. And
see if we can get the seaweed and dry it out and ship it to us.
No, you don't want to dry it out. You need a liquid so that you can make the gel. I mean, you
rehydrate it.
Yeah, maybe. I don't see how that would
I don't know.
We'll have to figure that out. So seaweed is our topic today.
Seaweed.
Yeah, you said.
I think that's where I left off. The last thing I read about was plantain.
Oh, plantain. Yeah. I thought you said seaweed.
No. No, ice plants is where I thought I left off at.
My signal up here
no,
is not that
all
great.
But we can talk about seaweed.
All right. Yeah, he has a nice, beautiful section on seaweed in the book. And I can't reach my... Oh, yeah, I can. Here it is. But I'm driving, so it might be safer for you to read it.
I don't even know what page it's on.
You what?
I don't even know what page this seaweed section is on. I'm looking. Let's see now. Seaweed. Page 374.
374. Yep, there it is. I found it.
Sea greens are the most nutritionally dense plants on the planet. Ounce for ounce, they are higher in vitamins and minerals than any other food. They contain 10 to 20 times the minerals of land plants and all the necessary trace elements of life, many of which are depleted in the earth's soil. That's one of the reasons why they take seaweed, grind it up, and use it for fertilizer. The same 56 elements that circulate in seawater flow through your veins. Include this wonderful food in your diet every day. I doubt if he eats it raw. Unless
you
he's
what?
Living in Hawaii. I doubt if he eats it raw unless he's now living in Hawaii.
Nah, he's in Arizona. You could probably grow it, though. He'd have to have his own,
seawater
tank. Go ahead.
He has a letter from Larch Hansen, who has a website, www.theseaweedman.com. So, who can ship you fresh harvested seaweed if you don't want to get it yourself. Oh, my. Well, there's your answer. There's the man who can send you your rare seaweed.
There you go. Yeah, if you live in the middle of Missouri like we do and can't grow seaweed.
Not the salt ones.
Well, we could, but it would be difficult. We'd have to make a saltwater habitat and blah, blah, blah. But it won't be as healthy as the real seaweed growing in the ocean. then again, it won't have the pollution that the ocean has either. So one half does the other.
Right.
That would be the only problem.
Well, might as well read the letter.
Okay.
In cold northern waters like New England, seaweeds are edible. In warmer tropical waters, there are some seaweeds that are toxic, as in liver destroying. The fish that eat them become toxic to humans. Cold northern waters contain more life per gallon of seawater, but less variety. Southern waters contain more variety of life forms, but less life per gallon of seawater. That's interesting. In New England, one can taste test all seaweeds. If it doesn't smell or taste right, leave it alone. I don't advise this approach for other plants, but in seaweed, it is possible to experiment without coming to great harm. Drying a seaweed generally concentrates its flavor, and in the case of dulse, once it's bone dry, allowing some humidity, 8 to 10% back in the plant, will kick off an enzyme process not unlike aging cheese. It's called slacking the dulse, and it makes it possible to chew the dulse as is without cooking it. This is a traditional slow pickle process from the Maritimes. I'm happy to answer questions for your readers. I like to introduce people to the essence of carrying an ocean within the bloodstream. Seaweeds are the great balancers. When that inner bloodstream / ocean needs to find home again, I operate my business like a CSA, community supported agriculture. And customers are welcome to come here for an overnight stay or a weekend. There's no charge, so that they can discover for themselves the source and spirit of this food. Okay, and then his website again is theseaweedman.com. Is the beginning of the trail that will lead customers to this place. Nina's Cooking and Lark's Boats. Rest in the night, abide in the heart. And that's from Lark. Okay.
Yeah, so, CSA is kind of what we're wanting to do, except on our land, except we probably won't be doing it for free. We do have community, CSA community what?
Well, basically, community supported agriculture.
Community-supported agriculture.
So,
that's what we're working on.
Yeah, so people send him money to grow them food, basically.
Yeah, all unfortunately, right. Nobody sends us money to grow them food yet.
Nope. Not yet.
But maybe one of these days. But we are working on an organic farm and retreat, where we will be growing a lot of the things that we talk about in this book and on this podcast, or a lot of things Marcus talks about in the book and we talk about on the podcast. We're going to be trying to grow a lot of it, like the chay fruits and whatnot. We want to make a food forest in the middle of Stockton, Missouri, where people can come and stay and learn how to duplicate what we've done. The bed and breakfast will be kind of like you go out, you pick your food, it's growing abundant around you, and then we're also like 10 minutes from the lake, so you can go visit the lake if you want as well.
Yep, and they might freak out when you start eating the local herbs and stuff there.
Oh, yeah, some of the things grow wild all around us, and people don't even know what they are, and we're cultivating that on our property. And, well, we have two properties. One, we're going to cultivate certain things, and the other one, we'll cultivate what we don't want to cultivate on the primary property.
Right, thorny stuff and poisonous stuff and...
Not so much poisonous unless it's medicinal. But
well,
like Marcus says,
it has other functions that aren't necessarily food.
This is true.
Yeah.
Like barberry has some very thorny thorns that really, really suck. But the berries are very I believe they're delicious. I hear they're delicious. And they're said to be very nutritious. So I haven't actually had any, but when we grow some, we will be growing it on the secondary property.
All right.
But also some things won't grow on our property, our main property, that will grow on the other property. The other property has more clay and rock type of soil. Ours is more rich soil, and some things just won't grow in rich soil. They require desolate soil.
Very
but anyway,
good.
So yeah, go ahead.
Well, I suppose I can read what Rothkranz has to say about seaweed.
Well, that's what we're here for.
Okay, so seaweed is a miracle food. You should have it in your meal every day. Since it's dried, you can carry it around with you and add it to your food wherever you go. The sodium alginate, a compound present in almost all seaweed, will bind with heavy metals like mercury, and chemical poisons, eliminating them from the body, as well as radiation. Sea greens can actually convert heavy metals and radiation into harmless salts that the body can eliminate. It has 10 times more iron than spinach and makes hair grow like crazy. Oh, that's just what I need.
Hair growth?
Turning gray hair dark again.
Hey, that's what I need. My mom's hair is starting to thin, so that's something that she needs. She used to have real thick, dark hair. Not dark. Mine's dark. My dad's is dark. My mom was a blonde or a strawberry blonde.
Yeah, that could explain something. One winter, I grew my beard out almost a foot long, and that was the year I had discovered seaweed in the Asian market and actually had been putting in my food on a regular basis.
Oh, there you go.
So that's, you know, my hair already grows fast. My nails grow fast. As a matter of fact, I need to trim my nails, and I trimmed them yesterday, and they're already getting too long. All right? So
that's the way I am.
Yeah, you can imagine what I'll be on seaweed.
Well, the thing with the seaweed is, well, I already have thick, long hair. My hair grows real fast. But my hair is turning to gray. I don't get enough copper. But apparently seaweed is high in copper because it makes your hair darken.
Yep. I put seaweed in my Vitamix all the time. When there is pineapple in there, I get a great natural salty / sweet combo taste. That's cool. Let's see now.
So seaweed is salty, probably, like, because it comes from the ocean. So if you need salt in your diet. You know, a lot of people crave salt, even though we really don't need a lot of salt in our diet. Instead of putting salt in your food, maybe grind up some seaweed and put that in your food, and it'll add salty nutrients to your food.
My mom was buying powdered dulse, and we were mixing that with our salt. So we had green salt, and it actually makes your salt a little fishy, all right? Personally, I think she was putting too much dulse in the salt. As much as she was putting, she might as well just gone straight dulse. So.
All right.
You might
want
to give people how to contact us since we're at the 3 minutes till Blog Talk's supposed to be done.
Well, it goes for 45 minutes. But, yeah, it will give us a cutoff notice here in a couple minutes.
Right.
And then it'll officially cut us off at the 45-minute mark. We discovered that by accident. Anyhow.
Right.
Yeah. So after Blog Talk Radio cuts us off in 15 minutes, if we're still talking that long, go to freefoodandmedicine.org to hear the rest of the story when I, of course, get time to go and upload that. And also check out Marcus Rothkranz at freefoodandmedicine.com or freefoodandmedicine.net if you want to give me commission for any purchases that you might want to purchase. But from his website, you can find his free YouTube. I give you both the .com and the .net because that way you know that I'm not doing this for the money, but the money does help. I don't get a lot of money, but it does help. There's our 90-second warning. But anyhow, at Marcus Rothkranz's website, you will find a lot of free stuff, and you'll have access to his videos. Of course, you can just Google Free Food and Medicine or Marcus Rothkranz. He's got a Facebook. I don't know if he does Twitter. He does have
YouTube.
He's got YouTube. He does even have a Blog Talk Radio account, but he doesn't do any Blog Talk Radios. I contacted him before we started doing this to see if he wanted the Free Food and Medicine extension or not. He never responded, so I went ahead and used it. You can find him at Blog Talk Radio, I think, / Marcus Rothkranz. But, yeah, anyways, he's got a lot of free stuff, a lot of educational information. He's not the only person out there, but he's one of the, I would say, more athletic. And he's just got some really good stuff, him and Kira both. Kira was one of the first, if not the first, person and woman to have medicine.
Okay, you're breaking up.
Huh?
You're breaking up.
Yeah, I'm in Wyoming. Kira was one of the first, if not the first, to have the first 100% vegan restaurants in the world, if not, or in California, if not the world. And she's amazing. So together, they're amazing.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to believe that she'd have the first one, seeing as there's whole religions that are vegan. So,
that's the only thing we really disagree with Marcus and Kira on is the vegan thing, but otherwise, I mean, they're in their 50s, and they look like they're in their 30s, so they're on to something. And here's the thing. My argument with vegans is a lot of them are nutritionally deficient, but they're not foraging for their food. They're going to the market. Well, the market
right.
is nutritionally deficient in most cases.
Right.
So you could maybe go 100% vegan foraging and growing your own and be healthy and not have these said deficiencies. And that's the reason why I'm following them. They seem to be like the only vegans that I've studied that are on point.
Right. And the other reason why vegans are often so nutritionally deficient is because it's a path that hasn't been well blazed. Well, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, there hasn't been enough people walking that path recently to know the ins and outs of eating that diet. Okay, so.
Well, that's true.
So they make mistakes and they don't get the right amount of protein and they don't get the right amount. You know, they don't know that you've got to have other things to go with your beans, you know, in order to complete the protein that's in the beans. You know, not every, you know, so that, you know, they need to find somebody like Rothkrantz who knows that stuff and get the details filled in. You know, it's like, you know, people have been eating the standard European diet for a long time, and so it's well known that, oh, you get rickets if you don't eat enough vitamin C, so you need to go out and get some, you know, eat some oranges. You know, it's like, well, in our case, we go out and get rose hips because they're better. But, you know, the standard diet's been kind of worked out, all right? But it isn't all that healthy for you because it is nutritionally deficient. And even us people who are willing to eat meat, who enjoy eating our meat, it's really kind of important we start raising our own meat and raising our own vegetables and foraging for stuff, you know.
Right.
And you know, people just don't do that. So, sadly, there's kids who do not know that the vegetables don't come from the back of the store. They think everything's made back there.
Right, like the milk.
Yeah, it comes out of a spigot someplace, doesn't it?
Right. Peaches come in a can. They were put there by a man in a factory downtown.
There you go. There you go.
Yep. Yeah, I mean.
Oh, well.
That's. A little, this is a little off topic, but, you know, truck drivers, a lot of times people don't respect truck drivers because they don't realize that truck drivers transport these things from the farms to the markets, from the farms to the factories, and from the factories to the warehouses, and from the warehouses to the supermarkets. They think that this stuff just magically appears on their shelves. They don't know where this stuff comes from. You know, they don't appreciate their farmers. They don't appreciate their truckers. They don't appreciate a lot of things. And unfortunately, I'm a farmer and a trucker.
Now, you know who I blame for that?
Society?
I blame the truckers.
The who? Oh, the public, yeah.
No, I blame the truckers.
Oh, the truckers. Why?
Well, if there were no truckers, then this stuff wouldn't be moved around that way. All right? And if it wasn't moved around that way, then people would have to go, they would have to see the fact that their stuff was brought in on a wagon from the local farm, you know?
Well, but this goes back. I mean, I agree that it's a little out of control, but everything needs to be transported. we wouldn't have a lot of the things like seaweed if you know, it wasn't transported from someplace else. You know,
well,
it's not,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's not so much that, it's just a poor education. You know, education is key, and we are dramatically undereducated. I mean, I don't know. I've actually learned more outside of school than I did in school. But I went to public schools, so that's another topic for another podcast. The podcast that we're having after this podcast, the ScrapGov Scrap podcast. But, part of it's government, part of it's society. A lot of it's society allowing government to brainwash people and undereducate people. Public schools is not educating people the way, our children, the way they need to be educated. We're dumbed down.
People also are thinking.
Yeah, we're dumbed down. Not too long ago, we were playing a game called Mr. Legacy. And we were, one of our tribe mates in this MMORPG game, her name was Arwen. She's in her early 20s. She's down in Florida. And I thought she was amazing because she branched out and studied and listened to podcasts and, you know, thought outside the box. She was much like us. She's a Ron Paul fan. You might not like this, but she's an Alex Jones fan. But I mean, she's a free thinker. She thinks outside the box, you know. She's one of the few younger generation people that go, you know, they're free thinkers. They don't let Uncle Sam and or the public systems brainwash them. They go out and find their education, and they're more educated. Homeschooling has actually educated, opened up the minds of a lot of children. And we have a friend who, her daughter recently just started homeschooling, and she's doing so much better. She's doing her last, like, 3 years at homeschooling, and she's teaching herself. Her mom's not doing it. She's doing it herself. She's homeschooling herself, and she's doing a whole lot better than she was in public school. So
it's called unschooling.
Exactly. So I take my hat off to her as well. But, yeah, a lot of people don't know. They're just glued. I mean, the nice thing about the internet and the smartphones is there's a lot of information out there. A lot of people are able to go outside the box and unschool themselves and relearn, reeducate themselves. And but there's, you know, I don't know. We've been dumped down as a society. We need to open up and start learning more about the basic resources that God has provided for us on this land, and stop poisoning it. That's the biggest thing. I mean, we're not going to kill the planet. We're going to kill ourselves.
Pretty much.
You know, all these toxins and poisons and pollutions that we're dumping into the environment, it's only killing us and the animals. But, you know, what is it called? Evolution? You know, the earth will evolve. New creatures form all the time. It's like, from what I understand, I'm not sure how much on point this is, but species. species, new species develop yearly. As old species die off, new species develop. And so when one species goes extinct, another one becomes an existence. It's kind of like reincarnation, even though I don't necessarily believe in reincarnation. But it's weird. You know, we may kill ourselves off, and as a human race, we may no longer exist, but the world will go on.
The planet will outlive us?
Do what?
The planet will outlive us.
Oh, definitely. I think so. And
How will we know? We won't be there to see it.
That's true. unless the planet blows up, you know, kind of like becomes a sun or something. I think if a planet blows up, it becomes, you know, gets too hot or something, it becomes a sun. Or I don't know how that works.
Yeah. It becomes an asteroid belt.
Okay, maybe that's what it is. I don't know. There is something I learned in
science. It becomes a bunch.
Where something happens or something becomes the sun or something like that. But anyway, yeah, if an asteroid hits us, then that might destroy the planet. But I don't think we will destroy the planet. I think we'll destroy ourselves before we'll destroy the planet. But, you know, hey, why are we killing ourselves? Why are we poisoning our soil? Why are we poisoning our animals? You know?
There's plenty of room on this planet for all of us. And actually, many times more than is already here. But we're fighting over resources that really there's plenty. There's plenty here. If we would just focus on taking care of what we got right here, right on hand, and stop worrying about overseas and, you know.
Right, stop killing people and stealing their resources.
Right, and mostly we're talked into it by people who are greedy and just want to have control over us.
Yeah.
It's stupid on our part. You know, it's like, no, I'm not going to go fight that war over in Iran. Yes, I understand my car is driven by petroleum and maybe we're running out. Okay, but you know what? If I grow my own food and I buy locally made stuff, you know, food, shelter, water, clothes, I don't have to go overseas to get those things. I mean, we do now, but we don't have to. That can all be produced locally and should be produced locally, you know. Sure, we won't be able to get